Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Herhuth, your local alternative Solid State Radio, and mine. It's one of those Mondays where we don't really have, I mean, obviously you'll have Lions stuff to do. We did all that Friday. We, you know, got the FM, all the Lions post-game coverage you could possibly want or need. Yeah. And we don't really have much to talk about with them until, well, next Sunday, really, when they take on Carolina. Which means we kind of find ourselves today starting off with the Tigers, and not really the Tigers so much
Cabrera
as one Miguel Cabrera. He officially hung it up yesterday after what has been the longest, most painful goodbye ever.
Yeah. He's definitely taken a tour. Everybody, all the other Major League Baseball clubs tipping the cap to him. I just, a great player, but I don't remember them doing that for anybody else. Maybe it's because Cabrera said in advance, this is my last season. I'm out.
That certainly has something to do with it. I mean, well, there's a couple things in play there. You don't remember him doing it to any other player because what other player from those late aughts, early 2010s Tigers teams that was like a huge part of owning the AL Central and making it to the World Series and all that. How many of those guys retired with us?
Right. Well, I mean, from a Tigers standpoint, it makes sense. All the hoopla and everything else with the Tigers. But when he's going to Colorado and they're giving him, I don't know what they, a bag of weed or something.
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, you know, something like that. I mean, everywhere he went, they gave him some extravagant stuff. I mean, gave him, acknowledged him and, it was a big deal. Every ballpark he went to, it was a big deal throughout Major League Baseball. And you got to ask, I mean, because does he have a ring?
Well, he does, but it was with Florida.
Yeah, that's what I thought with the Marlins.
Correct.
Right. So, I mean, he got to the World Series with the Tigers
twice. No, once. Sorry, he wasn't with the Tigers. In 06.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, good on him. I mean, great player. He's got stats. He's got the other accolades. Just found it a little weird that people were just going absolutely crazy that he when they knew he was retiring.
Well, there's a couple things on that, really. I mean, for one, you look at the years that he made the World Series, and in those series, he didn't do a whole lot. He had one home run in the World Series and one home run in Florida. In theirs, and was batting an abysmal 189 between the two.
Ouch!
Like he wasn't exactly. You don't really have the big memories of great postseason moments from. And I swear this isn't going to be just me ripping up a first ballot Hall of Famer up and down for the next 3 hours, though I could certainly do so. But but you don't remember the great postseason moments, really. In my lifetime, I mean, the big postseason moment with the Tigers, 06, Maglio, the home run that sent you to the World Series. Do you really have that moment with Cabrera? What, looking at ball three from Sergio Romo in game four in 2012? Like, what just staring at a fastball straight down the middle of the plate? Like, what's the moment you really have? I mean, yeah, you have all the regular season accolades and the triple crown and all the things you did then, but it's admittedly a bit hard to get super emotional. I mean, there were grown men weeping at that game yesterday.
Yep.
It's a bit hard, admittedly, to get super emotional when we don't have that postseason success really to fall back on. It's like so much about individual accolades and things. Like, this was, you remember a few years ago when Derek Jeter retired, we had the same kind of thing, like him just parading around getting gifts from the entire league and all this stuff. And he had been terrible for the last 4 years of his career.
Yeah.
You could argue Miguel Cabrera has not been particularly great for the last seven, really.
Two-time American League Most Valuable Player.
Yep.
Four-time AL batting champion, 12-time All-Star.
Seven-time Silver Slugger.
Claimed the 17th MLB Triple Crown in 2012. 500 home runs and 3,000 hits, joining Hank Aaron and Willie. He's got the stats. Absolutely.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and no one can possibly deny this.
No, not at all. But the big hoopla about it. I mean, they didn't do that for Steve Yzerman when they knew, well, I guess they didn't know he was retiring in 06.
That's the difference. They didn't know he was retiring.
They all had the feeling, but, you know.
No one knew for sure with him. And really, how often do you have a first ballot Hall of Famer retire with your team? In this town, with the Wings, you have it a lot. Yeah. But you only really had that. I mean, with the Tigers, you haven't had it since, you know, probably some of the guys on the 84 squad. And there's, you could argue that none of those were really first ballot slam dunk Hall of Famers. So we've never really had. The last time we would have experienced this would have been, I don't know, Al Kaline?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the last time I can think where you had a no doubt slam dunk first ballot Hall of Fame guy who did the whole, who everyone knew in advance was retiring as a member of that team. We haven't had that here, so it's a bit unprecedented for us. In the Pistons, most of the guys that ended up getting their numbers raised in the rafters and things ended up getting traded off elsewhere because, you know, Joe Dumars just decided to blow the team up.
Yeah.
With the Wings, like, okay, you had, the Wings is really the only comp you have because the Lions, okay, both your first ballot Hall of Famers left, retired under rather acrimonious circumstances.
Right.
So only the Wings do we really have a comp here. And I don't think we had a lot of any guys who really, I mean, several who would have deserved it, but not very many who would have announced their intention ahead of time.
No.
But also in the case of Miguel, he knew that contract was up and there was no way that anyone was going to sign him to play Major League Baseball ever again. So it was kind of seen as inevitable, I guess.
Yeah, I think everybody knew it, and he was going out with class. So, you know, you got that going for him.
Certainly. I just wish and I know there's going to be some people who are going to say that it's not fair to judge him on all that. Think about the good times, you know, the good times in which we never won a title out of the deal.
Right.
But I don't feel like if you're going to tell the tale of the man's time in Detroit, we can't just ignore the entire second half of his tenure here. And it wasn't good. Like, so many years where he was basically a 250, 260 hitter, which, I mean, these days, honestly, pretty good as far as MLB hitters go, but, like, the power was gone. He used to be a 330, 340 hitter, like, above 300 on the regular. After 2016, he never hit above 300 again. He was slower than molasses. He was good for maybe 10 to 15 home runs a year in a good year. And it was just kind of, at some point you realize, well, this is an albatross of a contract that we're stuck paying for the next million years. Thanks a lot, Al Avila, for that. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of look at it and you think, man, you know, I almost remember when he was still good. Like when almost. It mattered towards the end, just you didn't get much out of him. Mm-mm. But kind of got to call it what it is. As you're sitting here now missing the playoffs for a ninth straight year, it's hard, a little harder for me necessarily to reflect fondly back on the good times.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he was a great personality, a great good teammate from what I understand. He'll be missed, but now it's time to focus on the youth.
What little there is. Like, yeah. I just don't think the team's gonna be contending for a title anytime soon. Still got to figure out how you're gonna work around the albatross that is Harvey Baez's contract, and then there's the E-Rod thing, which well, you know, let's go ahead and get into that next. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and as we put a close on the 2020 Tigers season or 2023, I don't even know what year it is anymore. That's just how just gone I am, man. There was one other notable thing. As of course, I was listening to the game yesterday over on our good friends at the Thumbs Greatest Hits 97.7 WTGV. Because you know, there a call like this, like I don't really need to hear Shep on this call. I want to hear Dan Dickerson go out there and give this man the send off that he arguably deserves. Like I just need that. So that being said, there was a lot of talk about one Eduardo Rodriguez, as you might imagine. And really, why wouldn't there be? As he has been one of the few really bright points. I mean, as far as the pitching's been fairly decent this season. He was a big part of that when he was here, not just disappearing off for months at a time. But he gets to opt out at the end of the... He has the option, and it sounds like, from everything I've heard reported so far, he plans to exercise the option to opt out of his contract with Detroit. And I heard a lot yesterday between Dan and whoever it is, this sideline reporter that we now have for whatever reason, that, oh, he loves it here so much, and he wants to be here. He loves Detroit. He loves this team and everything else. Sure. Like, to the point where he had turned down, like, there was a trade in place to send him to the Dodgers, and he basically vetoed it in the 11th hour.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, unfortunately, Scott Harris had no backup plan whatsoever, so you weren't able to unload him at all. At the time, everyone was like, oh, it's because he wants to be here so bad. He loves Detroit so much. So much so that he's going to opt out of his contract at the end of the season and go somewhere else. Thanks for nothing, dude. Like, I am... This is why I can't... I have... This is why I'm such a jaded, cynical bastard, Adam. Because you're telling me, oh, he wants to be here so badly, so much so that he's not going to let you trade him because he wants to be here, but now he's going to go opt out, now get a payday in the offseason. You screwed us over, E-Rod. Like, there's no way around this. You screwed this team over. I mean, also, Scott Harris could have been a little more competent and had a trade lined up to a team that you couldn't refuse, but you still screwed us over.
Yep.
And I don't have to sit here and all these platitudes about how much he loves Detroit and how much he, you know, how important it is, how badly he wanted to be here are all a load of crap, and I don't care about any of them. Like, that's kind of just where I'm at. It's hard to buy this whole thing about how these guys totally want to be here and play for this team and all the other nonsense when realistically they're just mad that they couldn't, you know, get paid and for whatever reason wanted to give one last middle finger to the Tigers on their way out. That's what it feels like. Not happy about that at all.
No, not at all. I mean, it's very selfish kind of behavior. Masked under the idea of, oh, I'm a team player, I want to be here, I want to be here, and no, I'm not buying it.
It's hard to buy it, man. Like, when you hear this stuff and you hear the PR spinning going on, like you at some point you kind of see through it when you get burned enough. Like, how much did Miggy really like Miggy loved being here because he was getting paid stupid amounts of money to be here, and I don't think and while I don't begrudge him for that, get yours, man. Like, there's nothing wrong with that inherently. At the same point in time, it really makes it hard to, when people invest so much emotionally in these players and really you were expected to believe that, oh, these people care about the town and the place they live in when they're all literally only here because they're getting paid to be in the second they can leave, they do.
Yep.
Makes it a little hard to buy into that narrative, I guess. And particularly here, where there were so many things that just transparently seemed like last season when he just disappeared for a good chunk of the year and supposedly had no communication with anybody in the Tigers front office or any of that, he's just gone and no one can seem to explain why he's just gone and then comes back and we hear all this stuff about how much he wants. Like, we literally signed, you knew damn well that you weren't here because this team was about to contend. Everybody knew this team wasn't ready to contend, that they weren't going to be good yet. Like, it was pretty transparently obvious, at least to me it was, that this team wasn't ready to take that great leap yet, and quite frankly wasn't going to be anytime soon. You're here because if this works out, we're going to sell you and get a boatload of prospects who will actually be here when we're ready to contend for a title. That's all it ever was. Everyone kind of knew that. So don't then sell us on this, on some nonsense of him wanting to commit to being here long term when he's probably going to, if he goes and signs with the Dodgers in the offseason, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be so pissed at that point. Like, you could have been there now and actually contending for a title, but you chose to give the middle finger to this town on your way out the door.
Yep.
I can't buy into, I mean, yeah, the teams are motivated by money. The players are too. And I get that to some extent. But, you know, when you spend so much time building up a narrative about how, you know, these guys are representing your city and all this other nonsense, it, you know, and then just blatantly just poke a hole right straight through that that facade, it kind of sucks, man. It does.
Yeah.
It's happy hour. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. Pearl Jam at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He is Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. You know, do we dive into the depression that is college football? At least for me, it is. For you, it's
It's great. Let's dive right in. Go Blue.
God, you're... once again, you went out and completely killed a team that you were absolutely supposed to kill. Good on you. Nebraska's garbage. Yeah. Nebraska's hot garbage. We all know this. And you went and made them look like the suckers that they basically are. Real season starts eventually. I don't know when for you guys. I don't think the real season starts until November.
This is a cupcake schedule. I mean, I'll be the first to say that. I was the first to say that for Michigan. Because, I mean, you really don't have...
In most years, the first challenge would be October 21st, and I'm kind of doubting what a challenge that's going to be.
I think that's going to be all Michigan.
Yeah, so do
Penn
I.
State?
Yeah, Penn
on
State.
On the 11th?
Yeah, basically your competition, your challenge are Penn State and Ohio State, and that's it.
Yep.
I mean, you can't really, the conference schedule is what it is. You play the conference teams, you get assigned. So, I mean, of course, you're going to get a Minnesota, an Indiana, a Purdue, whatever, and you're going to beat them, and it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
So you expect that. But, man, it would be nice to see some, like, non-conference stuff that's actually good.
Yes.
But not much to say there. You're the better team by a long shot. Nebraska's hot garbage. J.J. McCarthy ended up with, getting involved in 3 touchdowns on the day. They didn't really need him for much else. Then there's the garbage school I root for. Which, at least I don't have to... I don't think they're playing this week, so I'll have a break from that nonsense. Oh, my God. Iowa. I mean, I did say on the air that like they're going to lose to Iowa, and it's probably going to be ugly. But I thought it was also going to be a little bit lower scoring of a game. I was surprised when I walked into a bar in a watering hole in the thriving metropolis of Munger, and Michigan State was actually winning. At one point.
Was it ESPN Classic?
Yeah, might as well have been, man. No, that they were actually up 16-13, start of the fourth quarter. And, okay, this isn't, I'll take this. This isn't terrible. And then, well, it got terrible in the fourth quarter. Cade McNamara didn't end up, he ended up, I think, getting injured and not finishing out that game. Yes, the former Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, boy.
Didn't matter as Iowa just poured it on in the worst way in the fourth. And the thing really with that game, you got more offense. Like almost, I think all of your offense came ultimately out of your defense and your field goal unit. That was it. Like you hit 3 field goals out of the 4 you had to kick that night. And then your other touchdown was a defensive one. Your only touchdown that night was a defensive one. Your offense is garbage. Noah Kim might be the worst quarterback State has seen in my lifetime. He's not good. 3 interceptions. Didn't even clear 200 yards. 25 actual catches out of 44 attempts. Like half his passes were just not going to anybody. And how soon can we bench this kid and just start over? Like he can't handle playing against any kind of top flight competition. This much has become readily apparent. You're at least Nathan Carter's putting up 100 yards rushing, but you don't have really a whole lot of anything else to hang your hat on here. Like you got beat. Brian Ferentz might just get his bonuses after all. You put up 26 points, which for Iowa is a lot.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, you just don't have a lot to look forward to with this team. Like other than the Michigan State game, because I am a masochist like that, I guess, I don't see myself watching the rest of the way. Like, there's nothing for me to want to watch out of this team. They've already basically proven that the entire coaching staff needs to be fired out of a cannon into the sun at the end of the season, and that whoever they hire damn well better agree not to bring on any of the Mark D'Antonio Country Club people to assist him.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs to be made a condition. And, you know, if you had a if you had an athletic director who wasn't completely in over his head, or a board of trustees that weren't a clown car that made Flint City Council look productive, you might actually have a someone who would be, step in there and be like, hey, you, we'll hire you for this job, but you are not to retain anybody who's currently there. You're not to keep anybody who's currently involved in this organization or who has ever coached under Mark D'Antonio on your staff at all, period, full stop.
We're checking your trunk.
I swear if I see you trying to sneak Harlan Barnett in there, we're turning you around.
Harlan, it's lights out. Come on, let's go.
Like, I feel like that almost legitimately has to be a requirement because of it's just such a, and it's bad that we even have to say this, but this coaching staff has done nothing for you. Like, there's no talent on the field or on the sidelines, as it turns out. Nothing redeeming about any of this. And it's just going to kind of be a disaster the rest of the way, I have a feeling. Like, I am dreading Michigan. Like, I never dread Michigan. I always feel like, you know what? We can put up a good fight against you. We always do, and not really feel bad about that.
Well, for quite a few years, ever since we've been doing this show, Michigan State has had Michigan's number.
But this year, it's like, well,
they don't have the number. They don't have the phone book. They don't have the phone.
No, they don't. Like, have fun, enjoy this while it lasts, because this is it's going to be rough.
This season's a bust.
Yeah,
it just. Hang out for a little while, come back in the fall, next fall, and try it again.
Yeah, it's the best we can really hope for. It's happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. No doubt your local alternative is Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody?
And I wasn't aware this was a thing. I don't remember how this came. I came across this, but apparently, people are really getting concerned about, I mean, technology has really gotten stupid in the AI thing, especially over the last couple of years or so.
Yes.
Like, honestly, the technology, I think, is getting too smart for its own good.
We're getting into Terminator kind of things going on.
But apparently, there are some people now who are worried that virtual girl AI girlfriends are ruining an entire generation of men. Did you know AI girlfriends were a thing?
Yes.
I don't know if I knew this.
Yeah, you get that. I get them all the time in my Facebook feed.
Really?
AI girlfriend, and you sign. It's not free, of course.
You pay for it. Why is that it comes across in your face? Is it because you're always looking for you know, pictures of hot chicks on your phone?
Maybe.
Does Facebook just sense like, hey, this guy needs to really just stop with the real women
this
thing.
Guy's thirsty. No, maybe. It's like an app, and you text with her and blah blah blah, and next, she sends you dirty pictures, and it's kind of crazy. It's nuts. Now, do they think real women are going to be replaced? Well, you might be scared, women. You might want to straighten yourself up. You're about to be replaced by a computer. We've been replaced by machinery.
I mean that's also fair, you know.
Yeah. But
that machinery doesn't spend a bunch of money at the bar every night, I suppose.
What you're going to have is a bunch of people who want to have that connection, who really may
are completely emotionally stunted,
maybe ugly. If I can use that term, I don't know if I can use that term anymore.
I think you can still use the term ugly, but
yeah.
This is going to leave people being ugly.
Yeah, so
that's really no. Like,
apologies to ugly people.
Right, because that totally wasn't.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, he turned into Tom Waits so gradually there, I didn't even know.
So I mean, you're going to have some people out there that just, oh, I have my AI girlfriend. I don't have to go out and find a real girlfriend, and then they're going to be stuck in their parents' basement for their entire lives. So that's a problem.
I mean, those people, let's be honest, weren't going out and exactly hitting the dating market anyway.
No, no, not exactly. But when, you know, it's real people are going to want the interaction with real people. So, yeah, women, you're not being replaced. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. You still have to live in fear. Absolutely. You still have to walk out to your car with your keys through your knuckles. Absolutely. Don't worry.
It's such a weird thing because apparently, yeah, you basically get to choose the physical attributes down to the size of her ass. Like, you pick her personality and all of this and basically dictate what you want this fake girlfriend to be.
That would be very interesting if they were to spill that information, not per an individual user, but let's say, okay, we had about 100,000 people log on today, and they all, what kind of attributes do they want?
That would be, and I imagine that's information that would come out at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is the... What are the incel neckbeards' ideas of the perfect woman as determined by their AI preferences? Wouldn't that... I would be curious,
you know what's really,
and depressed to know the results of that.
You know what's really crazy? None of them said they would like to be nagged when they got home. That's really weird. It's, you log on, hey, AI girlfriend, where have you been all week long? I texted you and you didn't respond back. Get off my back, bitch! I'll unplug you.
Yeah, apparently, it's pretty fantastic. The whole thing, just how depressed. Like, I guarantee you, none of them like they don't want someone with a big outgoing personality. They want shy and modest. I guarantee you, 90% of them. Oh, they don't want somebody who's gonna talk back to them.
Yeah, I don't want no mouthy AI. Shut up, robot.
Apparently, so there was an article from The Hill about all this, and like more than 60% of young men ages 18 to 30 are single, compared to only 30% of women the same age. Well, that's not really a surprise to anybody. I mean, for the most part, if you're a reasonably attractive woman who has, you know, fairly moderate to low standards, you can go out and get any guy you want any night of the week and then some.
Well, I mean, a lot of women are saying, yeah, for sex, absolutely, positively. But if you want a relationship with somebody who's not married, who will actually tell you that they're not married when they're not married, as opposed to, oh, I'm not married. And
oh,
then they
picky,
have like,
picky.
Yeah, yeah. Or, I'm not married. I got three baby mamas, but, you know. What?
I'm not saying the dating pool is great.
Well, there's some shallow pool.
although, like I said, we're talking 18. Like, we're not talking, like, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s, or whatever, like where that's going to be is more of an issue. Like, there's still going to be more single people. And there's
the thing is, though, people in their 20s, they got this crazy little thing in their brains. Like, they still think life's going to turn out the way they think it should be. So they can become really, like, when I was in a dating pool for a little while there, in between before I met Dorothy and when I was divorced. That was a scary time, man. There's people out there that's like, why are you single? And then you start hanging out with them. No,
that's why you're single.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Because you're a psychopath.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. That could take up the rest of the week right there. We could just, there's a nice four-part series called Why Are Single People Crazy?
Like, I am at the point, like, if somehow I were ever to, if Rachel were to finally wise up and leave my ass, I'm never diving back into the pool again. Like, it's just not happening.
It's a scary, and ladies, I'm not just saying that, you know, only women are crazy. I've never dated men, okay?
Yes.
I've only dated, by the time, if I ever get singles again, ladies, I've had enough of it. Tony, let's go. But I mean, people some people are just flat out crazy, or they're socially stunted, like we talked about, and so
like they don't know how to interact with other human beings, and they're in kind of lines of
they're users.
I mean, because there's two weird things with this, because there's some people that do like some of these internet personalities and YouTube people and OnlyFans girls or whatever that create like the. Like an AI version of themselves to be like that can be your virtual girlfriend, you know, for a price, of course.
Sure, yeah.
And there's two issues that I see with this. For one, you have the dudes who are going to have absolutely no idea how to deal with a woman in real life if they ever encounter it.
Exactly.
Because they've only ever dealt with a computer program that's catered to please their every whim.
Right.
And that, mon frere, just ain't how life works.
No.
Or you have the people like that develop what they're calling like the parasocial relationships. Like they feel like they're actually in a relationship with like the real person that this is based on.
Yep.
And they get really creepery and stalkery around that real life person. Like if I were in some alternate universe where I were one of these like OnlyFans girls or influencers or whatever, I would never want to do the AI virtual girlfriend thing, because I'd be worried I'd have some weirdo neckbeard showing up outside my house at 3 a.m. It's like you get the level of obsessed like with the Swifties, man. Like,
oh yeah,
I fear those people because they'll find out where you live, they'll find out what room or the place you sleep in, and like I don't like someone who has that lack of boundaries.
And there's
nothing, I don't want them knowing where I live, man.
There's nothing more triggering than sexual frustration.
Yes, absolutely. There's a reason that you hear about all these incels that, you know, talk about and occasionally go out and do just horrible things to people and go out and, like, yeah, sexual frustration is real. Like,
if they were to get laid, everything would be just fine. There's certain religions where, you know, if they would just let them get laid, everything would be fine.
Which also, I'm still not entirely certain that them getting laid would be fine, but at that point, well, then go get a hooker like everybody else does. I don't know what to tell you.
I've never had a hooker. I mean, I've paid for it. No.
he couldn't even get it up for a hooker, poor guy. Okay. The hooker's like, it's okay, it happens.
No, you're sexy. It's just scared of you.
But the other thing, and this is where this kind of goes off the rails a little bit for me, this person who's like, wrote the article here, like, is having real consequences. They're choosing AI girlfriends over real women, meaning they don't have relationships with real women and don't marry them and don't have and raise babies with them. America desperately needs people to have more babies. Does it really?
No, we don't.
No, it doesn't.
330 million people just in the U.S. alone. We have an overpopulation problem. Let's wait for some of the baby boomers to drop off.
Right. Then we'll be fine. Yeah. Everything will be okay at that point.
Just wait for the baby boomer. No.
But no, I am far more concerned out of all of that about the idea that you're going to have like a generation of dudes that literally don't know how to interact in the real world at all.
You already have that.
I mean, you do have that, but more so, worse so.
It's the people who are socially stunted, they'll be leaning into it by having that out.
I know. Yeah. And that's even worse. Now you're enabling these, you know, people who don't know how to deal with emotions and things, and it's just going to create a new generation of these morons. That's all we need.
Well, or not really, because they're not going to reproduce.
Well, that's true. I mean, okay, I guess it has its upsides then.
Yeah. Until you find out, it's now Microsoft comes up with an AI that like you can knock up. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, ding, you've got mail. Oh, my God. What have I done? And then you've got the right, I know she's AI, but every life is precious.
Right? The virtual protesters outside the virtual abortion clinic.
They're just like smashing them like Tamagotchis, throwing them out in the dumpster. Well, you're making a really tough decision. Okay, and then bring in the magnet. The right wing people are just like, every life is precious. We're pro-life.
Even the digital ones.
It's a digital. Say, it could have been the next Mario.
I honestly completely disagree with the writer of the article on this. Like, the fact that these people are having fewer children, I think, is a great thing. Because do we want another generation of these emotionally stunted man children? Yeah. I don't think we do. I feel like they're doing the rest of the world a service
at
that point.
If these people aren't going to be out there to meet anybody, have them in there, have that release, have that connection, albeit a very weird connection that we don't understand. But if they're not going to go out and meet anybody anyway, just let them go. Let it be.
Right. It keeps them away from, you know, the normal people, yes. Which I think is entirely worth it. Here's Cold War Kids at Solid State Radio. Jack White, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. Apparently, it's like, I think yesterday, I guess, was the first day of deer season. And I just want to really put it out there. Good luck to all the hunters out there. I hope you get every single deer that your tags will allow and then some. Because this, you know what, if you get them, there's a lot less chance that I'm going to run into them on my way home tonight.
Yeah, exactly. This just in from the Michigan State game area. There is no limit. No license, don't need them. Go ahead, just take them all out.
Don't need a license at all. Just take all of the deer out. Please do. What I really need to just do is start offering a ride-along service. Like, here, get in my car and just hang out the window. When you see a deer coming at my vehicle, shoot it. And, yeah, you'll get your quota in no time.
I got to bring a bigger truck. This Sean, they just jump in front of his car.
It's like they're all trying to commit suicide in front of this man. Like, just I don't know what their deal is. It's the weirdest thing. I don't get it. I could make a mint doing that. You know, as well as I do.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I know there's probably some laws and regulations, and you can't just hang out of a car with a shotgun, I guess. But, you know, legal schmeagle. How much am I really concerned about this? I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on the radio.
Right. I mean, it's gotta keep your beer somewhere.
Right.
I'm like taking the beer up into a tree stand.
Right, exactly. Like, and quite frankly, it's a lot less cold and miserable in my car than it's going to be in your tree stand.
Steamed up windows. Listen to, like, Molly Hatchet or something like that. Oh, hang on a second. Boom!
I mean, really?
I mean, I'm sorry. It's a bow season.
Right. Yeah, I guess we got to be at least somewhat accurate around
here.
Yeah,
I guess.
No. But seriously, though, go kill them all. Every single one of them. Because that every deer you take out is one less deer that I'm going to end up hitting with my car.
Yeah.
And trust me, I've already had enough. I hit my quota last year, I think, for the next decade. So yeah. I'm kind of looking to not have any more incidents of that sort for a while, or the DNR is going to show up at my door asking questions. Here's Robert DeLong at Solid State Radio. STP, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I come across some really just ridiculous clickbait things sometimes. And
yeah, it's easy to do.
A little too easy to do, if you ask me. And this is one, I guarantee this was written by a person that's never actually gone out to a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
12-plus times we should refuse to tip. Already,
oh,
I want to find
boy.
Where the... Already, I want to get one of those neckbeard incels to find out where this person lives and burn down their house.
That's the fourth time. Am I having a rough time with my neckbeard? Do I have a neckbeard?
No, not you. You don't.
Okay.
No, you just have like a serial killer beard.
Oh,
there okay. is a difference. All right. There's a slight bit like the neck beard like goes all the way down to like where you're like your shirt collar basically.
Okay. That would drive me nuts.
And like it's all like patchy and not grown in and
okay, the chia pet look. Okay, gotcha.
It basically is the chia pet look. There's always a tie. There's the thick horn rimmed glasses and the bad acne, and like I basically picture a bunch of kids I went to high school with who were like part of the anime club.
Okay.
So there's a couple of these, like, I get the ghost server, the person basically when the server just disappears through the meal, like, yeah, okay, that's fair. This one, the invisible host, I don't know that that's as much of a thing because the host isn't really you're not tipping the host directly, as far as I know. I mean, it's annoying, and you're probably gonna end up going to another restaurant. I've had that happen.
What do they mean by ghost host?
Where the host, I think it means like where the host just doesn't acknowledge you or acts like you're not there or doesn't see you, like you're waiting a long time just to get seated or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Which I mean, if you're at a busy restaurant where there just aren't tables available, then you know, hey, I don't know what to tell you there. But that doesn't really seem like a server thing. The cold food fiasco, and they because it's clickbait, there's a couple different entries that will basically be the same thing.
Yep.
My food's ice cold. You deserve hot, satisfying food, not a frosty reception on your plate. When faced with this cold food fiasco, it's entirely reasonable to chill on the tip. Is that really a server thing, though?
No.
Like, that's more of a kitchen issue than anything.
Yep.
The overloaded takeout bag.
Too much food? Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't realize you were...
When your takeout order looks like it was drop-kicked across the room before landing in the bag, it's a recipe for disappointment. No one wants a squash sandwich or a soup-soaked salad. In such cases, it's okay to reconsider that tip and let it reflect the state of your meal. Who's tipping that? Who's sitting there checking their bag at the counter and inspecting it like that before they tip their takeout?
There's a lot of people who do that just to find a problem so they don't tip.
I have had a few of those people.
Yeah.
I will admit, but it's not a very often as that thing. But and also, those people are just garbage humans.
Yes.
Okay, another, the no-show bartender. When your bartender is too busy chatting up regulars, the bar to notice you've been waiting ages for a drink, it's time to rethink the generosity of your tip for the next... I mean, okay, again, not getting served. Okay, I get it.
Yep.
Rude servers. I understand. This is an extra service charge. You've dined out, had a meal, then discover a mysterious service charge on your bill despite receiving no additional service beyond what's expected. It's a head-scratcher, and you have every right to put your foot down and refuse that tip. After all, tipping should reflect the quality of the service you actually received. I feel like those service fees don't necessarily go to the server, though. I know we had a delivery fee when I worked pizza a million years ago, and
everybody thinks that goes to the driver.
And let me tell you, none of that went to the driver at the last pizza place I worked at.
Yep.
None. Like, that's not a thing. Like, you're just, at that point, punishing your server delivery person for something that's not in their control.
Right.
Now, this is where we get a little bit stupid. The slippery floors. Walking through a restaurant should not feel like an Olympic event. If the floors resemble an ice skating rink and you nearly perform a triple axel on your way to the restroom, it might be best to skate past the tip line.
Huh? How often does this happen?
Apparently, it must happen to this person a lot.
That's probably because you show up 5 minutes before they're supposed to close. Ooh, I just made it. And they're trying to mop up. You're a douchebag.
Yeah, you are absolutely. Yeah, you were probably that guy. Oh, well, I guess I got here just in time. yeah, you were the absolute worst. This has me convinced this person has never actually gone to a restaurant in their life. And if so, they're the person that just looks for an excuse not to tip.
Sure.
The noisy nightmare. Dining out should be a pleasant experience, not a deafening one. When the restaurant's decibel levels rival a rock concert and you can't even hear yourself chew, it's understandable to silently protest with a smaller tip. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
How is it the server's fault that
everybody else is talking loud?
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, are you expecting the servers? I'm going to need you to be quieter because these people are bitching up a storm about
it. How loud do you chew to where you can hear it?
Right?
And you need to hear yourself chew in a restaurant? Have you been in public before? I mean, I realize we just got through a shutdown, but you're kind of a garbage human being.
Yeah. Who, like, stiffs the server because the restaurant's too loud? I don't understand these people.
Yeah. I want you to write it right on that ticket. I didn't tip because I couldn't hear myself chew. The people next to us were so loud. It's your fault, server.
Yeah, how dare you? The slow is molasses kitchen. Again, how is the kitchen being slow the server's fault? You know, at most places, I know a few that aren't, but for the most part, you realize that the server's not the one going back and cooking your food, right? And also, if it is a place where the server's going back and cooking your food, shut the hell up and deal with it.
Yep.
Like, if you're the kind of person that wants to come in and drop, like, you know, you and your party of 10 want to drop a giant-ass food order on a bartender, waitress, who is also the cook and is the only person at the place, then, you know, you either deal with the stuff that can take forever to get to you, or you just deal with the fact that you're not going to get drinks until it's done.
Right.
One of the two. Pick one, because it ain't going to be both.
Right.
I hate that as a place, you know, someone who works where it's a one-man show and you are manning a grill in the back of the building or whatever, like,
yep.
Dude, like, do you see any other coworkers here? And then you're going to demand to be for me to run out to the back 40 and wait on you, too, like, yeah. When I've got a full bar, like, yeah, about that. The inattentive wait staff, okay, a different way of saying the same thing. Unsanitary surfaces. Your table stickiness rivals a toddler's handprint collection. If you notice the cleanliness level is subpar and resembles a flytrap, it's reasonable to reduce your tip accordingly. I mean...
They have the start of a good point, but again, how often are you running across this? If it's a stick, you probably sat down at a table that wasn't properly bussed. You didn't wait to be seated. You just sat your ass down.
I feel like that's probably happened a lot, because like I know at least in my case, like I'm always the guy that's like running around to like try and still bus tables and wipe all the things down. Like I'm a neat freak like that anyway. Yeah. So like that's not gonna happen. And of course, every time someone comes in, they're going to sit at the one spot that you haven't had a chance to clean. Like, it's so filthy over here. Do you even clean? My God. Like, you got to the one section of the entire bar that I haven't just spent the last 10 minutes wiping down.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. The vanishing refills. You sit there with an empty glass, your server seemingly forgetting you exist after the first drink refill. In such cases, it's perfectly acceptable to let your tip evaporate. Look, I kind of get it. I also feel like these are the people that are just sitting and getting free refills on pop all night.
Yep.
At which point, quite frankly, I'm bringing you a pitcher and you can deal with it from there for a bit.
Yep.
It's like, because you're not tipping on those refills because, well, I didn't pay for it, so I shouldn't have to tip on it, right?
Right.
The upside down orders. Ordering your favorite dish and receiving something completely unrecognizable can feel like playing a bizarre game of food roulette. When your order comes out completely wrong, maybe that tip should spin away in the direction of a restaurant with better aim. Like, okay, I mean, I kind of get it, but also I feel like a lot of this could be saved by you just talking, hey, that's not what we ordered. I feel like so many of these could probably be solved with some actual simple communication on the part of the article writer here.
They don't want rational decisions. They don't want rational thoughts. They want to feel superior.
They want an excuse to not have to tip you.
They want an excuse not to tip, and they want to feel, oh, these people, I'm so much better than they are. I can see what they're doing wrong with their job. That makes me more important.
Right, I do feel like that is a lot of these people. You know, it's funny. You know, and here I go, probably gonna piss people off. You know, we always hear the people like, you know, every time, you know, so you're like, they didn't put onions on your burger or something. And these people think they deserve $15 an hour. Yeah, I don't hear. It's funny. I don't hear the same people like, well, I'm like, great, my. There's a design flaw in this car where it's leaking coolant every 2 days, and those auto workers think they deserve a 40% raise.
Yeah.
Now, that said, I'm fully in support of them getting theirs. Absolutely, I want to make that abundantly clear.
But also, I mean, yeah, this kind of stuff happens in the medical field, too. Where, like,
and these people think they deserve $100,000 a year.
Yeah, or like in the medical billing, we've been noticing a lot of that. They just... people aren't paying attention, then they're not billing things to the insurance insurance company properly, and so you get a bill and you say this should have been covered, but the medical billing people screwed up their job, and they're probably getting their job wrong because they're bitching that they said no cheese and it came with cheese.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder sometimes, like, why is it we've decided that food service people are the one industry that we're allowed to look down on, to suggest that they don't deserve the money that they get paid, and all of this. Like, you don't, like I said, you don't hear it about any other industry. You don't hear people say that about auto workers, and cars have, like, design flaws all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You don't hear it about people in the medical field or any other field where there's a higher rate of screwing up. Other than, okay, you hear it occasionally about athletes, but other than that, like, other than, you know, entertainers and food service people who are like the low people on the totem pole.
Yep.
Like, for some reason, we've decided it's socially acceptable to shame them for wanting to get adequately compensated for what they do.
Yep.
I don't understand this. This one, if this hasn't lost you yet, this is where it will. The overzealous upselling. You're ready to order, but your server suddenly transforms into a used car salesman trying to upsell you on everything from appetizers to desserts. Your dining experience shouldn't feel like a high-pressure sales pitch. In such cases, it's okay to decline tipping them up for their sales skills.
Really? Their boss probably told them, okay, we want you to upsell. I mean, that's what you do. That's what waitress servers do.
Yeah, like a lot of places require them to try and upsell on appetizers and desserts and things. That's like their job. That's what they're getting paid to do. No, not tipping because they asked you, would you like dessert? No, that's not an acceptable thing. You're a garbage human.
I'm surprised the next one was, not offering a dessert. What if I wanted something else? Maybe I had a sweet tooth. Not offering a dessert is reason not to tip.
Right. I'm amazed, actually, that I didn't find that in there, like, these, with this person. Okay, this, let's just piss everybody off. The lost in translation. When your server struggles to comprehend even the simplest request due to a language barrier, it can lead to frustration. In such situations, it's reasonable to scale back the tip as effective communication is part of the service.
What? Where is this guy going to eat?
Like, did they, like, go and take a trip to Italy and then no one speaks English and they're pissed off because you don't speak their language? Like, I don't understand. These people don't speak English. Yeah, because you're not in an English-speaking country.
Exactly.
Like, you really are the worst people in the world, aren't you?
Yeah, the writer of this article needs to just stay home. Just needs to really just stay home. Don't be in society. Society's not good enough for you, apparently. Why don't you just stay home and breathe in your own smug air?
Absolutely. One more here. The frozen dessert debacle. Because, again, that's the waitress's fault.
Yeah.
When your dessert arrives frozen solid and you need a jackhammer to take the first bite, it's time to thaw your tipping generosity.
Now, originally, this asshole didn't want dessert. Now he's mad that this ice cream's cold.
Right? I don't get this. Oh my God. The closed kitchen surprise. You arrive at a restaurant before it's posted closing time, only to discover the kitchen is unexpectedly closed early. You're left hungry and disgruntled, and it's clear the service fell short of your expectations. In such cases, don't feel obligated to tip heartily as you didn't get the full dining experience you anticipated. Well, what are you tipping on at that point? You didn't get
anything.
Food.
Well, the kitchen's closed? Oh, okay, well, I guess I'll sit here and order a couple drinks. And
then not tip you.
And I'm not tipping you because I couldn't eat. What a jackass.
I am just floored at these people.
I didn't get the full dining experience. That's right, because the kitchen was closed.
I don't feel like that's the cramped seating.
Yeah.
When you're squeezed at a table so small you need to play food Tetris, it's far from enjoyable. It's entirely reasonable to not tip based on the space you didn't get to enjoy.
Was a server designing the restaurant now too?
Right. This person.
You want them to be. You don't want them to earn a livable wage, but you want them to be the architect. You want them to be a mind reader.
Right. Yeah. This
cook.
Right. Yeah. They've got to be apparently an interior designer too. Who knew? The kid chaos. Okay. A family-friendly restaurant should be equipped to handle the occasional whirlwind child. If the staff does nothing to address the unsupervised tornado of a child, it's okay to let your tip swirl away. You know as well as I do, we're not allowed to say anything to the parents of kids anymore.
Absolutely not.
Because, oh my God, the first
time. I know how to raise my child.
Yeah, what do you want? For the staff to go over there and say, like, can your kid calm down? Because you know the same people that are like, I'm not going to tip because this kid's running around being an idiot are also be the first people like, how dare you tell me how to raise my child?
Yeah.
That circle, that Venn diagram is a circle.
Yes. Yep. And the same person's like, won't somebody step in and do something about this kid? The server goes up to, hey, can you take care of your kid? That person on the other side of the room is like, I can't believe that server was so rude to that those parents. I'm not tipping her.
At some point, like, the overbearing mute. Okay, another way of saying, it's too loud in the bar, so that means that's a good excuse for you not to tip.
Yeah.
You're just a garbage human and really should just never, you should be one of those people that just hangs out at home with your virtual significant other,
yeah.
Because I feel sorry for any place that has to deal with you in person.
Exactly.
It's Happy Hour, Solid State Radio. Happy Hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to an hour of... Adam, what is it you do at 6 o'clock?
Michigan, self-defense. We learn fighting style of Upper Peninsula and Sheboygan.
That's
in Wisconsin, I think. I don't know.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Charlevoix.
I can't imagine you teaching anybody self-defense, but sure, we'll go with that.
Aww.
A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. All being well, we'll talk to you here tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.